Hello, everybody.
Hello.
Welcome to the Macaw Podcast Universe.
I'm Jordan.
I'm Micah Macaw.
And we're here to prove people wrong when they say sequels are never better than the originals, and we're here to kick off a new series.
A brand new series. Do you want to talk anything about this new series before we really start diving
in? Like why we're doing it?
But yeah, do we want to tell that story, or do we want to wait until Kingdom of the Planet?
No, do it now.
Okay. Do you want me to tell it, or do you want to tell it?
What's the new movie?
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes.
So that trailer has been going around. I know by the time this comes out, probably not as much.
Maybe no, still. Probably more, because we're getting closer to the release date.
Anyway, every time we've gone to the theaters lately, we see this trailer, and it took us like 3 times seeing it. That opening shot of the eagle, falcon,
and it
whatever,
goes,
flying in the across a forested jungle landscape, and it's like, what is this?
And the score swelling, and it kind of has like that first shot almost reminds me of like, is this Hogwarts or something? Like, there's an eagle flying, but maybe there's an owl. Maybe I'm getting my things confused or something. But then it feels maybe more epic and frontierish in a different way.
Sure.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it just is really enchanting. And every time, for like 3 or 4 times we saw it, we're like, what is... And this was separately, not talking to each other about it.
So I saw it first, the trailer first, I believe. And I was like, in my head, I was just like, wait a second, that looks cool. But I have no attachment to Planet of the Apes, except for I like the first movie ever made. But then I think you saw it.
Mm-hmm.
And then I saw... Then we saw the trailer together. And I think... Did you turn or did I turn and say like...
Maybe we both did at the same time.
We're like, this kind of looks good. And then it was like this huge... Maybe it was you, because I felt like this huge wash of relief where I was like, okay, because this looks kind of awesome.
Yeah.
And now I feel like we're in this weird little limbo where I mention this to other people and they're like, oh, the ape movie?
Which, they're not wrong. That's an appropriate response. I do kind of feel like they're still making... I mean, that was one of the things I thought of when I saw this was like, huh, they're still making these movies, I guess.
Well, and I had seen that it was on IMDb's calendar for a long time, and I'm like, really? They're making another one? And this time Matt Reeves isn't writing and directing
it? Asking for it. That being said, one time, I forget which one it was, but it was on TV, and I was at my parents' house and caught a little bit of it. And I think my initial thought was like, oh my gosh, this looks so freaking boring. Are you kidding me? And I kind of got lost in it for a couple minutes.
Yeah.
And I don't remember which one it was, but...
I think it was Dawn. Okay. Or maybe it was
How would
War.
You know that?
Because you told me this story.
Oh, okay. But yeah, it was pretty interesting.
Yeah. So all that happens, and then I think like the fourth time I see this trailer, and if you're a listener of this podcast, you probably know that if you show us the trailer too many times, Jordan and I start being like, you know what? F Fall Guy. I don't want to... Well, I never wanted to see Fall Guy, but it's like, you see that trailer so many times, it's like, you know what? I hope no one sees this movie, because I'm tired of seeing it. I know that's how advertising works, but it just drives me nuts.
So if you go to the movie as often as we do.
Yeah. But every time this one plays, I'm like, oh man, I can't wait for that orangutan to just throw the food out for the people. And then like all these shots, it just feels like such an event to me.
Yeah.
And
it has it truly feels like it has no business for that. And then and I know this is just the trailer, so presumably the movie will be even better.
Yeah.
But the monkeys look good. And
they look
always
crazy
looked good.
Yeah.
I'm sure some of them are dated now, these newer ones, but they've always looked so good. And it's crazy that there are 2 trailers in the theaters right now of giant monkeys. Well, not giant monkeys, but of monkeys. And
it's crazy how hard this slam dunks on Kong.
Yeah, because the Kong one is so weird. Also, just a note on that, for people who have seen it, are you also confused that when they show the baby King Kong, they're not showing it? They're not showing it again. There's no reference point for how big it is. They just show it on a hill. It could be a small hill. It could be a big hill.
Yeah.
And then they kind of, I think they show our characters like looking at it, but it's like they could be looking at it up on a hill.
Yeah.
Or it could be like they're 20 feet away from it, really looking up at it. There's no reference for how big this little monkey is.
Yeah, I think just from that one trailer of Kong X or Godzilla X Kong, I mean, do I want to see Godzilla and King Kong team up? Absolutely. Am I going to go see that movie in theaters? Yeah, probably. But
really?
Probably. I got a free movie ticket coming our way. But I just feel like it's this weird, I think it's probably a directing thing where it's like, you know, there's that shot where like Godzilla and King Kong are like running and Godzilla's chasing King Kong and they're in like the middle of the earth. And I'm like, they don't look big to me because there's no reference point.
I wonder how much of that is just the trailer, though.
It could just be the trailer, but I feel like every shot in that movie, like you don't get the size of either character.
Other than that other monkey that seems like the size of a planet.
Yeah.
So yeah, the proportions are all a little whack in the trailer.
Well, they're just not showing it to, and it's, I think any movie has got an uphill battle when the most recent Godzilla Minus One was like as good as just any movie that came out last year.
Yeah.
Not just as good for a Godzilla movie. And so it's like, ooh, you got to compete with that.
Yeah.
Sorry, guys.
That being said, this Planet of the Apes trailer looked so flipping good.
And it looked so good that I said, Jordan, you know what? I looked at the calendar, and if we don't do a couple of series that I was planning on doing, and if we just schedule this right, we could watch every Planet of the Apes movie and go see this movie in theaters and cover it for the podcast. Because you and I both have only seen Planet of the Apes 1968 and Planet of the Apes 2001.
I've seen the first Matt Reeves one.
Oh, right. I'm sorry. And I think that's actually before he's on board, but we'll get into that when we cover it. So here we are. We're doing Planet of the Apes.
Yep.
And I'm very excited.
I never cared about it up until this freaking trailer. I mean, I love the first one.
Weird is that? I'm the same way.
It's like an unexpectedly gonna just fill in huge blind spots for me that I didn't know I had, and I guess that's why they keep making the movies.
Yeah,
because no one's asking for it, but we need it.
I guess we do.
That's what we're here to talk about.
It's just so funny. The trailer has made me want to watch 11 movies now. Mm-hmm. So, but of course, I've seen Planet of the Apes, the original.
Same.
And I remember liking it a lot.
Same. I watched it in college on a tidy TV screen.
I watched it in those same years.
I did not know the twist, but it sounded like you did.
Yeah, so I actually have a pretty vivid memory of looking up like movies with best twists on the internet, back when the internet was still fun and exciting. And
that's what you looked up?
Yeah, but I
what
was
a buzzkill.
No. Movies with the best twists so I could watch the movies with good twists in them. Now, the problem with...
Oops, but it gave the spoilers.
Yeah. So I was kind of looking and I was trying to, like, you know, click the next page, but, like, not see stuff. That's how I remember it being anyway. But it's like with Planet of the Apes, anytime you see anything about it, there's the Statue of Liberty.
Mm-hmm.
So it's... I think that's all I knew. I don't think I knew what the story was about or how it happened.
But pretty early on in the movie, you probably just figured it out.
Yeah, I was like, okay, yeah. I mean, he's on Earth.
Yeah.
You know, whatever. And, yeah, so... You know, that goes up there with, you know, The Sixth Sense and, of course, Luke, I Am Your Father, see our episode on...
How'd you know The Sixth Sense?
Empire Strikes Back. well, it's so permeated in pop culture.
Of course.
But I remember the first time it was an episode of According to Jim.
Okay.
And his brother-in-law said something like, oh, you're like Bruce Willis at the end of Sixth Sense. You're a ghost. Or so, he said something like that. And even though I was probably...
Wow. I mean, I know that show came out after the movie. I know. Yeah. But not that much farther after the movie.
Oh, I mean, you know. Yeah, I guess you're right.
Big spoilers.
But, you know, 4 or 5 years. But
yeah.
Anyway, And it's funny because, you know, I was probably like 10. And I saw that and like always remembered it and didn't see Sixth Sense till I was like 21 or something.
See, I don't
like
think
that.
I knew that one either. I thought the twist always, and this is so dumb, was I see dead people, which is what everyone said.
Right.
But then of course that's the premise of the movie.
Yeah.
So I just don't think I knew the Bruce Willis thing.
Yeah.
I remember being pretty shocked.
Yeah.
I don't know how I successfully avoided that. And the Planet of the Apes. And what was the third one you said? Oh, Luke, I Am Your Father.
Yeah.
Oh, I think I just knew that one.
Yeah. That one's tough to...
Yeah. And it's possible I knew the Sixth Sense one because it is so much of our culture.
Right. Should we get into it?
Yeah.
Okay. So, this movie is directed by Franklin J. Schaffner. And he directed Patton, for which he won Best Director.
Never seen that.
I haven't either. He directed Papillon.
Papillon.
Oh, Papillon.
I have seen a lot of that movie with Steve McQueen.
Yeah.
It's a good movie.
Oh, okay, cool. And then he also, it auto-corrected someone's name to Knockmalls.
And his name's probably like Ned.
Yeah, it's something in Alexandra. I don't remember what it was, but it's not Knockmalls. I know that. And I just don't have a way to access it quickly. I'll get clarification on that
soon.
Who
is this?
This is the director.
Of what? Wait, oh, the other movie.
That's just another movie. Okay, so the screenplay is by Michael Wilson. He did an uncredited rewrite or an uncredited writing credit on It's a Wonderful Life. So this is like an old author. Are you looking it up right now?
Yeah, but I can't figure it out.
Yeah, I'll look it up once you start doing actors. Because I think you missed a shocker there.
What?
One of the writers of this movie has an uncredited...
Rod Sterling.
No.
Oh.
It has an uncredited writing on It's a Wonderful Life.
Oh, what? Who?
Michael Wilson.
Okay.
And then he also, I think he won an Oscar for A Place in the Sun. He was one of these writers that got blacklisted during the McCarthyism stuff. And he's a co-writer on Lawrence of Arabia. So the guy knows how to write. Then we also have on the screenplay Rod Serling, who is from Twilight Zone. We all know that.
Rod Sterling of Twilight Zone fame.
Oh, yeah. No T.
I thought it was Sterling.
I thought it was until I was researching this.
I totally was reading. I've always read it that way.
Yeah, it's Sterling.
Wow.
Thank
you.
And it's pretty funny because watching this movie, I thought several times, like, this is so like Twilight Zone-y, mm-hmm, with the twist, mm-hmm, and all that. And so... it's based on the book Planet of the Apes by Pierre Boyer from 1963.
Is this true? I heard that they got the rights to this movie before the book was published.
Yep. Yeah.
Okay. Wow.
Cinematography is by Leanne Shamroy, who did The Black Swan. Not that one, but I think he won an Oscar for that movie. Wilson, Leave Her to Heaven. Oh, yeah. The Black Swan, Wilson, Leave Her to Heaven. He won... Oh, and Cleopatra, 1963. He won 4 cinematography Oscars for all 4 Jeez. Of those movies. So he has... He actually...
He knows what he's doing.
On Wikipedia, it had just... Before his filmography, it just said, like, the movies that he has won or nominated for Academy Awards. Because it was, like, 15 movies or something like that. And then under that, it's, like, other works. And then it showed the rest of his filmography. Wow.
I saw that this movie came out before there was a makeup Oscar.
Oh, is that true?
I believe so.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. We'll talk about the makeup in a second here.
Yeah.
But not that aspect of it.
I could be wrong.
Oh, no.
Let's look it up.
Okay.
Keep talking.
So the music is by Jerry Goldsmith, who did Chinatown, Total Recall, Gremlins, Star Trek. And this movie comes out April 3rd, 1968. It makes $5.8 million domestic... No. I'm sorry. The budget of this movie is $5.8 million. It makes $33 million domestic and then an extra $3,000 from the worldwide box office. So I think it was just released in the U.S.
Sure.
And maybe like a couple of theaters outside of the U.S. Did you find the answer?
1981
was when
the best makeup wasn't introduced to the Oscars.
So then how did he win an Oscar for this movie, like it said? The costume to the...
I looked up makeup, not costume, so maybe...
I'm confused.
Beginning
now.
With the 92nd Academy Awards, the films were nominated. The competitive category was created in 1981 as Academy Award for Best Makeup after the Academy received complaints that the makeup work for The Elephant Man was not being honored.
That makes sense. Yeah.
Let's see. Costume 1949.
Oh, weird. Okay, so let's see. So this movie was nominated for 2 Oscars, Best Costume Design and Best Music. And then I see there's an honorary award.
I did see that.
For Outstanding Makeup.
Yes.
So I don't know when they awarded that honorary award, but it probably would have been.
It might have been the year it came out or whatever, that Oscars.
Oh, like we don't have a category.
Like a special commendation
to that movie. Oh, okay. Now, I mean, this is what we do on this podcast, so let's figure it out.
Yeah, Google things on mic. That's what we do.
No. We know all this stuff, and we're just searching our memory banks, like
Sherlock.
Yeah. Honorary Oscar. Now you have to cover for me.
I can get into some actors.
Give me an Oscar.
I know you read stuff about Charlton, but Charlton Heston's in this movie. Mm-hmm. Some would say he stars in it. I don't know.
I would say that. Yeah.
He is Ben-Hur. He is Moses. He is Neville.
Who's Neville and who's George Taylor?
What? He plays Neville in The Omega Man. Have you seen that?
I have not seen that movie.
I've heard of this movie. Okay, can we watch that sometime? Even though it's got very mediocre scores.
Oh, yeah. I've got that on my little list, so.
But yeah. Oh, he's in... What? He's in Cats and Dogs. Anyway, Charlton Heston is like... He is Hollywood royalty. He just is. And he is, in many ways of this time, Charlton Heston in every movie he plays.
Oh, yeah.
However, he is incredible in everything I've seen him in.
Yeah.
He is so good. Cornelius was played by Roddy McDowall.
Okay.
He is also in Fright Night, How Green Was My Valley, Cleopatra. He is in Conquest of the Planet of the Apes, but as a different character. Kim Hunter plays Zira. She is also in A Streetcar Named Desire. She's Stella.
Ah, Stella!
Yeah.
Stella!
She's in other Planet of the Apes movies. I read that during a screening of this movie, she, you know, went up to Charlton and was like, "How are you doing? Blah, blah, blah." And he had no idea who she was. Because he hadn't seen her out of makeup.
Wow, that's crazy.
That's how convincing the makeup is.
Yeah, and that's why it was given an honorary Oscar the same year.
Dr. Zayas.
It's a long time to find that out.
It's played by Maurice Evans.
What a great character name, by the way.
Yeah, he is in Rosemary's Baby. He's in more Planet of the Apes movies. He's in The Jerk.
Okay.
The Love Boat. So on and so forth. What is this? The Fantasy Island?
Yeah, Da Plane. Have you ever heard people say that?
No. That's a weird poster.
It's a TV show.
And then let's find his... Oh, Linda Harrison was introduced in this movie as Nova.
Yes, she
was. I saw
that
she was having a quite the love affair with one of the producers of this movie. And
was
that was why she was given this role.
Ah.
And soon afterwards, the producer left his wife to marry this woman.
Wow.
And they were married for 9 years and had two children.
Wow. Okay.
So a little bit on that, because I forgot who else I read. Oh.
Wow, you're just full of gossip today, aren't you?
I can't remember, but it was like a pretty well-known actor they were considering.
Uh-huh.
And then they were like, nope, we got to have this lady. And then I also saw a pretty big actress that I'll maybe look up later. Who turned the movie down but regretted it once it became so successful.
Oh.
Anyway, Linda Harrison's also in Cocoon. More Planet of the Apes movies.
Interesting. Okay. I didn't imagine that like characters would recur in these old movies.
Me neither.
So that'll be interesting to see.
Wild Bill, a Cocoon sequel. Oh, Cocoon, The Return.
Okay. We got to watch Cocoon because I don't get what it is and I don't know anything about it really.
And then Landon, one of his crewmates, Robert Gunner.
Uh-huh.
He is in The Jackals, The Green Hornet, Caprice. And not much else. And then maybe just lastly, well, maybe not, but Dodge, played by Jeff Burton. That's another one of his crew members, the one who ended up as an exhibit.
Yeah, yeah.
He is in Street Sisters, Coffee, Git. But with an exclamation point, Git.
Like G-I-T or G-E-T? Mm-hmm,
G-I-T.
Okay.
Run, Joe, Run. Based on these posters, it looks like he's in some black exploitation movies.
Oh, okay. Very cool.
Oh, Pam Grier. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Is in one of them. Stars in one of them.
Okay. Ugh. You want me to get the rest of the
who was
notes
the kid?
Here?
What was the kid's name?
Ooh, I'm not sure.
Lucius?
That sounds right.
Hmm.
I know it's tough because all the IMDb pictures are probably old men.
Yeah. He's in Star Trek The Next Generation, played by Lulu Wagner, Airport, blah, blah, blah.
Okay. All right, so here's how this movie went down. Rod Serling writes a script, and the script is rejected. And it was because the apes were like, it was like a technological society, and it would have been too expensive.
Yeah.
So Michael, is it Wilson? Yeah, Michael Wilson is brought in to rewrite, and the director suggests, let's make it a primitive ape society. And so,
not too primitive, though.
Yeah. I like where they land. I think it's cooler than a technological world. And I think that some of the... I think maybe Conquest for the Planet
like a kind of high-tech.
I think there's like skyscrapers and stuff.
That's it's interesting because we do have sequels to see how it will progress.
I know. I'm so excited. And then... but Rod did have the twist in his script. And so they kept that. I did not see, and I forgot to look if the novel has that twist.
From the impression I got of it was that they just changed a lot. That they really liked the initial idea. And then they just were rewriting it a lot to really try and figure it out for the movie's sake.
Okay.
That's how it felt.
Okay. So once they're working on this, the studios are like, okay, cool, but can you even pull this off? So while they're still doing the Serling script and he's working on it.
Sterling.
They did a screen test with the makeup to see if it's even possible. Charlton Heston was doing the screen test, and I saw that James Brolin was played Cornelius in the screen test.
I saw that too.
Oh, okay. And then when they saw it, they were like, okay, it's good, we can pull this off. And then while they're working on it, John Chambers, who did the prosthetics and makeup, he at the same time was having like training. He would do training sessions for during this movie with other makeup artists
who would
like,
have to also be applying makeup, the stuff
like teaching them. So instead of just being like, oh, I'm just doing my own thing, he's like, let's train like the people at, you know, 20th Century Fox or whatever, and like get everybody knowing how to do this and stuff. So that's kind of cool. And mentoring them. A lot of the beginning of this movie was shot in Arizona. A lot of it, most of it.
Okay.
Because we were talking about that. And then the end of the movie, when we see the Statue of Liberty, that's a matte painting that they've blended with the shot of him on the beach. I guess the actors hung out in their own species.
I saw that too. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah, it's like...
it's like a Stanford prison experiment.
Yeah, it's just like you get attracted to your own. And even when you're like, it's fake makeup and stuff like that. I think that same thing happened on the island of Dr. Moreau too.
Really?
People would hang out with like, you know, like they're the people that look like them kind of.
Ew.
I think.
Why'd I say ew?
Well,
because
all those,
they're all like mutant animals.
There was a whole, which I'm sure you know, there was a whole different plot where Nova becomes pregnant.
Nope, did not see that.
And Taylor gets killed. And she runs off with the child.
Okay.
They cut that.
Yeah. I don't like that.
I don't like that either.
It's probably going to be in a sequel. Let's be honest.
Yeah, probably. And then what I wanted to do, this is my last.
We'll just get it out of the way now with this movie. It's an older movie. Not just that because it's an older movie, but we got two female characters, and I'm not talking monkey.
Uh-huh.
One of them dies in her sleep at the very beginning. And basically later, Charlton's like, basically they would have started a new human race on this planet with that woman.
Yeah.
Almost saying that's all she was good for on their crew.
Yeah.
And then this other character, Nova, does not say a word.
Right.
It's just given to him to mate. And he is very possessive of her the whole time. Like he, as a character, would do certain things or wouldn't leave her. And it didn't really make... if you're looking at it like hypercritically for today, 21st century, 2024, it's a little silly. And now it's gotten out of the way.
Yeah. And I'll just say, you know, oftentimes female characters can definitely be written better. I will say that just on my personal understanding and criticism of this movie, I feel like this movie, because they are men from 1968, like actually, that go into the future and stuff. To me, it makes sense that they would react and be that way.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's also a primitive society, and none of the humans can talk except for him. So for me, it doesn't, this is not like a movie that I'd put in like the sexist column.
Yeah. Okay.
You know, I it just doesn't like ring like that for me.
Yeah.
But I mean, it doesn't pass the Bechdel test.
It doesn't exactly, to me, it doesn't exactly feel like he's trying to keep the woman with him in some kind of not even fatherly, but a protective situation. It's like, I need this woman because she's a woman and I need her to come with me. Not just like I'm stuck in this cage and this person's also stuck in a cage and I'm not leaving unless that person can also go free because humans deserve freedom. It doesn't seem like it came from that angle.
But I do think the movie establishes that he is a selfish character.
They say that. Yeah.
I don't know.
He says that.
Like it's not like cringy to me really in any way.
No, but it is interesting. It's just interesting watching it today.
Worth noting, for sure. Okay, so this is my last thing before we get into the plot. I just wanted to read Roger Ebert's review from 1968.
The whole thing?
Most of it.
Okay.
Because
we got a baby.
I know, because it's pretty good. So here we go. My highly reliable public opinion sampling system, consisting entirely of taking the word of taxi drivers for everything, leads me to the conclusion that Planet of the Apes is one of the year's most eagerly anticipated movies. Somehow, the chemistry has gone to work, the word has gotten around, and the mass audience is interested. There was even a line in front of the theater Friday morning, and that's a sight you don't see every day. Since Planet already seems to have found its audience, then I thought I'd address the review to the others, to those who wouldn't be caught dead going to see anything called Planet of the Apes. I can understand their bias. Until I started reviewing movies, I probably wouldn't have gone to see it either. And any number of friends have been telling me they've heard it was awful, when in fact, nobody in Chicago had seen it until Friday, and the reviews from other cities have been pretty good. What they were really implying was that any movie named Planet of the Apes had to be awful. This kind of snobbery may be good for a chuckle or two, but those who practice it miss a lot of entertaining movies. So then I'll skip his plot thing. And then he says, what I'm getting at, I guess, is that Planet of the Apes is much better than I expected it to be. It is quickly paced, completely entertaining, and its philosophical pretensions don't get in the way. If you only condescend to see an adventure thriller on rare occasions, condescend this time. You have nothing to lower but your brow.
Wow. I just want to read people that whenever, like for like the new Aquaman movie.
Oh, yeah. Seriously. Yeah, yeah.
That's great.
So, yeah.
Bravo. And so, and the movie begins.
And so the movie begins, yes.
Charlton is sitting at the control board of a spaceship.
He's in a spaceship, yeah.
And he's diarying. He's
diarrheaing.
Yeah. He's journaling the expedition they're on.
Yeah.
They're exploring new planets. They're on course that it cuts to Earth's time and their time.
Uh-huh.
They've only been on here for like 18 months or something, but Earth has progressed like 1,000 years, more or less.
Well, I think they've been traveling for 700 years. I think that's what it was.
Oh, okay.
But they're going at the speed of
the
light.
Exact year. I know.
And
but I'm so for them, it's only been like 18 months.
Yeah, I think.
Something
yeah. So,
like that.
So we're doing some time dilation stuff here.
Yeah.
He's
the last one
cool.
to go into the sleep.
Yeah.
Cryogenic sleep.
Yes.
I don't know if they called it that back then. Who
I don't
called
know if
it
they
that
did.
First? Who calls it that
Probably
at all?
Probably Walt Disney's head.
Oh, yep.
Yep.
He is just going full Charlton as he does in any movie he's in. Talking very big.
Let's see if I can do it again.
Knowledge.
That's
good.
That's my best impersonation, probably. Knowledge. He kind of makes it almost, it's almost three syllables. Knowledge. Like, nah, beat, lidge. Knowledge.
Knowledge. But yeah, so then he goes to sleep, and by the time they wake up, they have then the camera's doing all these swirly twirly into a landing.
Yeah.
I think I read that it made everyone sick.
Did it?
Yeah, when this movie came out, which I don't blame them. I imagine watching this in a theater, it would make me sick.
Yeah, not anymore, but for an audience then.
Yeah.
So and this is I'm realizing now that this is a year before 2001: A Space Odyssey. So a lot of the language of what becomes kind of standard, although we all know that, you know, upon 2001's release, people did not like that movie, but it still kind of came like, that's how you do space.
Yeah.
And so this movie's a year before that. And some of the ship stuff, you know, it's like how it's flying and stuff. It's like, well, post 2001, this might have been shot differently, you know?
Yeah.
Just pointing
out. I liked the, I think it was in the credits, how they were doing the lights and stuff.
Oh, I don't even remember.
Just it looked like stars, and they get big, and then there are more. And
yeah, at the, at the beginning of
the
movie.
At the beginning, yeah.
Yes. I kind of remember that.
But they crash land into a river, lake, tributary.
Yeah,
of some sort.
Well, and I just want to say that now the Earth year is 3,978.
Yeah.
So it's 2,000 years past when they left, when they wake up. So that's where we're at. So there's 2,000 years of history that must be revealed in four to however many more movies they make.
Hmm.
You can kind of do a lot with that.
Hence why there's 11 movies, I guess.
Yeah. Although my understanding is all the first Planet of the Apes series are all sequels, is my understanding.
That's interesting.
Yeah, I don't think there's any prequels.
I really cannot imagine what these other ones are going to be like.
I know.
These 70s ones.
I know. I can't either.
Yeah, I'm ready.
I'm ready.
So they crash land, and the ship is filling up with water. Everyone jumps out of their beds. They're trying to send out a signal of where they are. It doesn't work. They can't send a transmission. They're trying to gather material quickly. They discover that the one woman crew member, I think she was Stewart. She is dead. You see, there's a big crack in her. So
she's like old.
At some point in this, their flight, like this happened to her, and she's been dead for a long time.
Pretty cool.
Loved it.
Kind
awesome.
One thing I mentioned to you while we were watching it is the movie was a lot edgier than I had remembered.
Yeah.
And something like that is like, oh, you have like this just dead corpse. And it's like, oh, I just remember this being like a very PG family friendly movie. And it is. But it also is like,
it's also very mature because it's just very mature themes.
Well, yeah, that is true.
It's not a popcorn movie like you might think it is, which I think is kind of what Ebert was like. Lower yourself to see this movie because it's not.
You have but to lower your brow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the three remaining crew members make it out just in time and get on a raft, and their ship sinks.
Yep.
And they're like, wow, a new planet that we're on. We have 3 days of supplies. Let's find life or find how else we can survive on this planet.
And something that I love about the movie, when you know what happened or what, you know, the big twist that they're on Earth. And I think even the first time I watched it, I was probably the whole time being like, I don't think they're on Earth, Micah. I don't think they're on Earth, you know, like so that I could try to pretend that I didn't know the twist. But this time, you know, I'm like, okay, I know. And it's just, I love how they really show how hostile Earth is.
Yeah.
And yet it's where they're from.
Yeah.
So like they're going through this desert and they're like, man, this planet is so hostile. And there's almost this implication of like, we had it so good on Earth. But we're explorers and this is what we do and we love to do it. And it's like, but you're on Earth. This is that hostile planet.
Yeah.
We live on a hostile planet. You know, I just think that's very cool.
Yeah. I like that too. So they're traveling for a while. There's a lot of, it's kind of establishing characters.
Yeah.
Him and Landon.
Yeah.
Butt heads a lot. And he's kind of like, Taylor's kind of getting on Landon for like, you were, you know, probably everyone's favorite person.
Hometown
back home.
Hero.
Yeah.
Knowledge.
And now let's, you know, see how you can make it on this world.
Yeah.
Basically. And Landon's like, don't try and figure me out. I can figure you out. And he's like, no, you can't figure me out.
Yeah.
So
I'm Charlton Heston. Not as good, huh?
No. But they find a plant.
Uh-huh.
Which is proof that there's some kind of life on this. They keep going. They find a watering hole.
Mm-hmm.
And they get butt naked.
They do.
Do not remember that.
Edgy.
Uh-huh.
Jordan, you did you want to mention anything about the spacesuits?
Oh, I loved them. I just liked them a lot. Costume was great. Sometimes I feel like today for sci-fi movies, we can get a little too into it, or there's a little, I don't know. And it's not even a real dig on movies today. Uh-huh. Because I generally like all of it, of what I see. It's fun to see depictions of things.
Yeah.
But these just felt so normal. As opposed to something that's a little bit, not like a mech suit, but very like techie.
Yeah.
And these were just suits.
Yeah. They're like jumpsuits.
Yeah.
Red jumpsuit apparatus.
They look breathable, you know, they look fun. Yeah.
It is very funny. And, you know, I'm glad because it's like, I don't know, it's almost perfunctory at this point, but it is funny that like the movie's old enough that there's no the characters being like, we tested the water, it's fine to drink.
Yeah.
We tested the air, it's fine to breathe. They're just like, hey, we're on this hostile planet.
Yeah.
You're like, okay, I mean, you might die
Charlton
when you step out
on the planet, which is a science fiction cardinal sin.
Yeah.
But it's early enough, it's fine. On Alien Covenant does not
No,
pass.
That's...
Oh my gosh, that made me so mad.
We
Among
will talk about it someday.
Everything else in that stupid movie.
We'll talk about it someday, but yeah. Today is not that day.
Yeah.
Is that the one
and
with
that
the...
movie they should have known better. This movie, it's fine.
That's the one with Danny McBride, right?
Yes.
And they catch like the transmission of like Sweet Home Alabama, right?
Oh, yeah,
Sweet
I think
Home
so.
Country
then,
Road, Country
then,
Roads, I think.
Michael Fassbender's doing his own thing and it's yeah. like, why wasn't this the movie?
I know.
Yeah, that movie sucked.
The frustrating thing, it's frustrating when a movie has two movies in it and you like one of the movies and you don't like the other movie.
Yep. So, their clothes are stolen and they're chasing after the people, humanoids.
Yeah, they earlier they saw these scarecrows, so they're like, there's life here.
Yes.
And then there's these people stealing their clothes.
Yeah.
I had forgotten all of this stuff.
Me too.
I remember them walking and that was about it.
Yeah.
And then they're just with this.
Yes, I don't remember them coming into contact with humans first.
Yeah.
To which, so yeah, they think they're on another planet. And they see humans, you know, but they think like what it's just so interesting. And it's also just so interesting to watch this in the context of the 1960s.
Yeah.
This isn't a 2024 sci-fi movie where if they saw other humans, they'd be like, why are there other humans? And
yeah, that might be like a Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes kind of thing that we'll learn then.
Oh, okay.
Because that's a sci-fi movie now is what I meant, but it's the same franchise. I'm just...
yeah. So,
and there's human characters in that movie. That
are there?
Look, that,
oh, yes.
Remember,
yeah.
they look like...
They look like animals, as they are in this movie.
They're like devolved.
Yeah.
So
these humans do not speak.
Yeah.
They're like feral, wild animals.
Yeah.
They do wear clothes, though. I did see that they wanted everyone to be naked. Well, especially mostly the note was like women wouldn't wear coverings.
Uh-huh.
Which I understand. But
they
couldn't
we're making a movie.
They couldn't get away with that. But yeah. I do get it.
Yeah.
So they follow the people.
Wait, why specifically only the women?
Well, that's just
not
the note
clothes.
I read. I'm sure they meant that they wanted that for everybody.
Oh, okay.
Also, though, it's the 60s. Who knows?
Yeah, yeah.
But they chase the people into this field full of food.
Wait, hang on. What if we lived in a world where Planet of the Apes came out? It was still as successful as everyone saw it, and it was just like. All the humans were like absolutely nude and there was no hiding it or anything. They're just like nude in the movie.
That would be hard to look at.
What if we just lived in that world and that was just what this movie was? Wouldn't that be weird?
That would be weird.
And you know, it's the 60s. So the movie's like, you know, G or whatever.
Yeah.
All right.
The people are in a field full of food and they're eating everything. And our guys are like, this is interesting. Let's partake as well.
Yeah.
And then things on horses come barreling in and start kidnapping, killing.
And capturing.
Capturing.
With nets and stuff.
The humans. And I'm imagining for our three main characters, they're like, probably it's like, what is that? I think I saw a monkey.
Yeah.
A chimp or a gorilla.
Yeah.
On horses, but I don't know. I just got to run away because the bad things are happening. In the skirmish. What's that guy's name? The third dude.
I don't remember his name.
Well, because he dies very quickly.
Yeah.
He gets killed in the scene.
Yeah, I'm going to try and find it, but you keep talking, okay?
He gets killed. Landon gets captured.
Yep.
And then Charlton eventually gets captured as well.
Yeah.
Everyone gets captured / killed.
And so here's something that I think is very exciting about this movie. Even modern lens and everything. Like, this starts off, and it does feel like, okay, cool, adventure movie. Like, you know, they're on this planet. Oh, there's monkey people. That's interesting, fun. And then the movie just takes a total, like, left turn, and it's like, okay, now we're going to talk about philosophy and science and religion and science and how those things work out.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when it's like...
And how it might not be so different from today.
Yeah. And then this is where this is like the Rod Serling of it all.
Yeah.
You know, at least to me. I'm not familiar with the novel.
Yeah.
But it just feels like it's so pointed that it almost, and we know that it's only loosely based on the novel, that it feels like maybe, you know, that's just a little tiny part of the novel.
Yeah.
And then they were, you know, they're like, cool, Planet of the Apes. Maybe that was their person's big idea. Or maybe their idea was just the evolution aspect. I don't know.
Yeah.
Because basically, if you haven't seen the movie, or if you have, as a refresher, the monkeys think... Like they have some sort of religion, and their science is bound to be seen through the religion.
Yes.
And then there's this other scientist. Is that Cornelius?
Cornelius is our dude.
Yeah. Yeah. And he finds evidence of a primitive man.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's like, maybe we evolved from them. So it's this...
And he's looking for the missing link.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just funny, like, I don't know, I guess I'm not really super familiar with, you know, what people thought in the 60s, but, I mean, I'd imagine that's when a lot of the, like, discoveries of, like, old man, what do we call early man,
mm-hmm.
were happening scientifically, and so there's controversy, and... It's just funny. It's just interesting that this movie got made and it was such a hit, because my understanding of like 60s America is like everybody's like smiling and they're like, we all go to church on Sunday.
But I think evolution was pretty big back then. I mean, ever since Charles Darwin.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about the old D-man. So, yeah, I guess that makes it. It just feels it's just I don't know.
Yeah,
I
agree with you.
The 60s in cinema were very transgressive. Is that the word?
Progressive.
Progressive, but like pushing the boundaries. Not just
you're gonna spill your tea like every freaking time we record all over your crotch. The tea saga, I gotta say,
the tea saga returns. See our Lethal Weapon 2 episode. Yeah, so anyway, it's just interesting that it's so blatantly about that. It's not even like covertly about that or mm-hmm. something like that. I wonder, like, for example, this year, a movie I have not seen when this comes out, a movie I don't think I want to see. It has more to do with the director and writer than the actual movie. But there's this movie, Civil War, coming out, Alex Garland. And it looks like it's basically really one-to-one saying, like, America is a totally divided country. What if there was a civil war? And when I see that trailer, I personally kind of roll my eyes because I'm like, that's so on the nose. Like, you're speaking to this moment so specifically, it's like this movie in a year will be like not interesting. But I could be totally wrong. I could be absolutely wrong. And much like it seems like with his movies, everyone's going to tell me it's actually a masterpiece. And I'm like, what are you talking about? But Ex Machina rocks and Sunshine rocks. His movies that he didn't direct are pretty good. Anyway. All of that to say, I wonder if when you saw this movie in the 60s, if you would kind of roll your eyes and be like, oh my gosh, nail on the head.
Yeah,
you
know, maybe.
Kind of little thought experiment
there.
Yeah,
that's interesting.
Yeah, I totally went down into the weeds. I'm stuck in there. I've been captured by an ape. I need you to rescue me.
Well, Taylor has been captured by the apes.
Yeah, human see, human do.
He's been shot in the neck, so he can't talk.
Oh, yeah, I like that detail.
So he's just another savage to them. And he's put in a cage.
Yeah.
Well, he's being poked and prodded and probed, maybe.
P-A-P. P-A-P-A-P.
P-A-P-P.
Poked and prodded and poked and poped.
And then he's stop talking. Stop.
Sorry. I'm sorry.
Shut up. But he's kind of hearing them talk a little bit, kind of about philosophy, studying their brains, studying how they live and everything. So he's in like a research capacity. Of these things, and he's put into a cage, and Zira, who researches them, finds him, and she sees that he's trying to communicate, and she's like, oh my gosh.
Yeah,
Bright
this is
Eyes is what she calls him. He's trying to communicate.
Yeah.
Talks to Dr. Zaius.
Yes.
Briefly about it, and he's like, he's just another savage. And she's like, no, he's really trying to communicate. And then what happens after that? Does that when they give him the woman?
Yeah, they give him a woman to mate with, which I just say, again, that to me,
that's not weird. I get that.
Oh no, that's actually not what I'm going to talk about. I just that element to me, I'm like, oh, this movie's kind of edgy. Like it just feel like, I always just imagine this movie as like 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea or something. Like just any you know, young child can watch it, and I think a young kid can watch this. Yes, you know,
it could be a little boring for a kid,
probably. But it's just kind of funny. It's like just rewatching this movie, I'm like, oh yeah, there's like this crazy corpse at the beginning. There's like this implication that he needs to mate with this woman, which has like, if you think about it, it's like pretty disturbing because of his enlightened field,
yeah,
and her, you know, being a lesser species of human,
yeah,
you know,
and but he doesn't know that.
Yeah, and so it's, well, no, he does know that because she doesn't talk or anything.
Well, I guess he doesn't think that, he still doesn't think he's on Earth too.
Yeah,
so he's probably like, what is this thing? I know it's a like humanoid, but.
And I think that's, and I think you should feel uncomfortable with their weird setup, you know. So it's just, it's like there's a lot of teeth in this movie. Yes, an arrangement. but yeah, so Cornelius thinks there's evolution. And how can scientific proof be heresy? Yes, he makes that argument where like everybody is, you know, saying like, no, that's heresy. That's heresy. We can't even think about it or try to understand it. And he's like, how can proof be heresy?
And Dr. Zayas and his crew are basically like, the scrolls, the religious texts tell us why we're here.
When you said scrolls, I thought of Marvel scrolls and I could not piece it through.
Don't sully these waters. but like that's the, like you said, the lens that we look through everything.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore there is no way that man is close to ape.
Yeah.
Although that is what Cornelius is like. That's his job as a, he's like an anthropologist,
right?
A scientist, to try and that's his life's work, is to potentially prove that if he can.
Yeah.
And then, is that when they're taken to like the outdoor time?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And Taylor writes a message in the dirt, but yeah. Nova covers up most of it. But then Dr. Zayas sees a word.
So he's like actively.
And he erases it.
Erasing it.
Yeah. He knows.
And we'll find out at the end of the movie. Yeah. That he knows that there is proof of an earlier humanoid species that they evolved from.
Yes. And we do find this out throughout the movie, but our astronauts crash landed in the Forbidden Zone, mm-hmm. and the apes are not allowed to go to the zone because there is no life there. Therefore it's uninhabitable. You can't survive.
Yeah.
But they're all starting to wonder, because of Taylor, what is beyond the Forbidden Zone, or what's actually in the Forbidden Zone.
Yeah.
Are there other life forms potentially out there? But Dr. Zayas is like, there is nothing to be discovered out there. And it's not so much to protect people. Well, in his opinion, it would be to protect people. Well, just not in the way that everyone thinks.
Yeah, he's going village.
Yeah.
You know, where he's like, we got to keep the monster out there.
Yeah.
And keep everyone stuck in this village.
Yeah.
So I think it'd be interesting to talk about the elephant in the room of this whole thing.
Talk about the ape in the room?
Yeah, which is that you and I are Christian. And we grew up do you want to get into it a little bit? I think it'd be fun.
Okay.
So I grew up in a very like, you know, like evolution, kind of like this movie, not as aggressive, but it is like, no, it should never even be considered because of Genesis. And I, you know, to get a little, you know, sidebar here, it's like, I do believe in the sanctity of scripture and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. But I've, since as I've gotten older, come to understand that, like, the Bible is not a science book. So comparing science is not always the smartest thing, in my opinion. That may change as I get older. And so I think there's room for it. And I don't see how a God couldn't use evolution to create us. I don't really know. In my personal like X-Files element, I kind of feel like there's
probably calling the Bible X-Files.
Well, I kind of feel like there's a third thing that we don't understand scientifically that kind of explains things better. Because I just feel like, you know, it's like we're at that point where people are like, the earth is flat, and other people are like, no, it's round. Or No, that's not a good analogy. But sometimes, you know, these things happen in science and we think something is so specifically in science, I'm talking, mm-hmm. not religion. And we're like, oh, you know, the Earth is being orbited by the galaxies. And then when we learn more, we're like, oh, actually, we're orbiting in the galaxy. And mm-hmm. I feel like there's a possibility that, like, the creation of man / the evolution of man, there's some third thing that we just don't understand or don't know yet that maybe unifies those two things better. Yeah. That's like my personal...
Someone a lot smarter than us who's studying that.
Yeah.
Might figure out, discover. There's a really, really great Bible Project episode.
Yeah.
I forget who they interview.
I know.
But is that person a scientist? I think they...
Yeah, they're I believe they were like a genealogical science, like they study genealogies or something like that.
Okay. Yeah, there's a really, really great Bible Project episode where they talk about all of this that was very enlightening for both Micah and I. I know for me, like Micah, because we grew up basically together, it was
yeah.
taught creationism.
Yeah.
And I remember in high school taking like ecology and environmental science and had a teacher who would not tell us what he believed.
Yeah.
And remember thinking like, oh my gosh, I hope he doesn't believe in evolution.
Yeah, yeah.
Which he probably did. And that's why he wouldn't tell us, because the school we went to was very much creation.
Yeah. Yeah.
Creationism.
Yeah.
And then I went to college at a Christian college, but they taught evolution as like, that is it.
Yeah.
And there are still a little bit of hangups I have with how it was all approached that I'm not going to get into there,
yeah.
but it was still at a time in my life where I was like, I can't believe they would do that. That's crazy.
Right,
and
right.
blah, blah, blah. And I remember having a conversation with someone about it while in college, and they basically were like, well, why would believing in evolution mean like someone can't be saved?
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, yeah.
Was that Hannah?
No.
Oh, that just sounds like something Hannah would say.
It was with Hannah when we were talking about it.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, it's just like I had a very narrow tunnel vision view.
Yeah.
And it was a time in my life when I was still kind of figuring out what I figured out about everything.
I mean, that's a very formative time.
Being a young adult.
Yeah.
And there is still just so much I don't know.
Yeah.
But in a way, through all of this, but definitely opened my mind much more than I ever thought I would.
Yeah.
As well as opening my mind to the possibility of I will not know everything. And that's awesome.
Yeah.
I love that for me.
I know. I think, yeah, like as we approach 30 and are now 30, I'm a lot more comfortable with like, oh, I don't know how the universe was created. And I just trust that there's a God out there. And that's enough for me.
Yeah.
And if it evolved, if it was a big bang exactly like that, that to me does not deter my faith.
No.
But yeah, I'll actually put a link to that podcast.
Cool.
I'll track it down because it's interesting. Even if you were not a Christian, I think it's a really interesting and valuable thing because.
Oh, yeah, it's so good.
The guy kind of makes the argument that he's like, there's been this culture war for 50, 60 years. I mean, since this movie came out is
yeah.
kind of what he's saying around that time period. And he's like, I think it makes people just absolutely go, well, anything biblical and Christ-centric is like absolutely false because we found an early man. And he's basically like, if you want to reject that, you can reject that, but don't make it because of this thing that doesn't that there's no need to compare and make it cancel out the Bible.
Yeah.
So I just think it's incredibly important and interesting. And he's like, basically the Christian church has done a bad job of making the only thing people care about is whether evolution is true or not, which isn't even like the point of the gospel.
No.
So it's interesting. And I'm definitely more reserved to be like, I don't really understand. And that's fine.
Mm-hmm. It's not scary. Like I always thought it was.
Oh,
I felt for some reason life threatening.
Yeah. In high school. And then in my early 20s, I'd see, like, I remember one time I saw this article that was like, a new finch has evolved, like, since Darwin. We've studied it, and there is now a new species of finch in that area where he was seeing it.
Mm-hmm.
And I looked at that, and I was looking through the article, and I was kind of like Dr. Zayas, where I was like, no, nope, 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 because that I don't know what to do with that information.
Yeah.
And then it's like, what? Now I look at it, and I'm like, They're science. That's a new species.
The interesting
what does
thing
that
about
say about Jesus?
The
nothing.
Dr. Zayas you know? Thing of him reject not of covering up the
yeah
the proof of humans before ape
yeah
and an evolved human too, like an intelligent human. Micah spilled the tea finally.
Oh, I'm spilling the tea.
he's covering up the fact that there was an intelligent human form that evolved from apes, and they evolved to such a point where they killed themselves.
Yeah.
Through warfare, climate change, all of the above, probably. It was 2,000 yeah. years ago. We don't know for sure. Hey, maybe the other movies will explain it.
Yeah, right.
But it's just interesting because I'm sure throughout the other movies, it'll probably show the irony of it, where mm-hmm. the apes will be making the same mistakes that humans made. And just because they're apes doesn't mean that they're that
yeah.
different from humans. And if you're trying to cover it, it's kind of that classic thing. If you try and cover up the past in an effort to not repeat it, you most likely are.
Yeah.
Even if you're a different species.
Yeah. Oh, Jordan, that's good. We're cooking with gas now.
It is like movie one.
Well, and speaking to like the whole, maybe there's a third option out there. I'm going back into Planet of the Apes. My understanding of Rise of the Planet of the Apes is there's like a super monkey that James Franco creates. Is that correct?
There's something that he does with a monkey, yeah.
Which actually implies that
from my memory, he like started it. Oh, I understand what you're saying. Like, so it wasn't an evolution thing. It was almost like genetically modified.
Well, what I'm saying is like they're operating under the assumption that man reverted to like its older state, and then monkeys came out of like a new species of man
mm-hmm.
in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
But talking about like maybe there's a third option thing, and if we're just looking at this franchise like it's, you know, bad analogy, but scripture, I think Rise of the Planet of the Apes shows that the monkeys actually just evolved from our monkeys.
Hmm.
So it is like, it's like actually even what the scientists who are the heroes in this movie are hypothesizing actually turns out to be not totally correct.
Hmm.
So it's just,
but they choose which story they want to tell through their
exactly
own scripture,
yeah.
which I understand is in the movie criticizing
yeah
that,
and I think that that's an element to be criticized. If you're faced with new information, you need to go, well, actually, you know, how does this align? What does it do? And then you go, oh, yeah, the Bible's not a science book. So, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, wow. Best episode of the year, probably. So then they escape prison.
Okay.
And
he's zipping all around the town.
He's zipping up all around the town. And he's running around. He sees in a museum that the other guy.
I'm looking it up.
Okay, that the other guy is like in a museum they have that shows man like a, you know, like you're at the Smithsonian or something like that, which is very cool. Very relieved.
Dodge.
Dodge? Oh, I don't think I caught that the whole movie.
I mean, he died pretty early.
Yeah. And then that's when he gets captured again, and he says, "Take your stinking paws off me, you damn dirty ape." Which is, you know, one of the all-time classic lines of movie history. Great stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then he sees Landon, and he's like, oh my gosh, that's one of the guys.
That's not exactly this part, but...
Oh.
He gets
you're
taken
right.
into
you're
a
right.
room
you're
with
right.
Dr. Zayas, and Dr. Zayas is like, you're going to get one chance to, like... The Cornelius and Zira are in trouble.
Yeah.
And they're going to be put on trial for what they've done that involves you. And you are now in my custody, and I basically am going to dissect you and learn how you can talk. Because by now Taylor can talk.
Yeah.
But
and
in
Taylor
a way,
Brown, we hope you're listening.
In a way, he says you have one more chance to save yourself.
Yeah.
In some way. That's the gist of their conversation.
Uh-huh.
The conversations are much more philosophical arguments, but then there's basically the trial.
And you know what's funny is thinking back on this, actually, when I first saw this, it would have been in my early 20s, maybe late teens. And I think the argument that this movie makes, I was a little bit like, it's just a fake movie. Don't think about this argument too hard. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't remember how I felt, even though I wasn't around the same age, too, when I saw it.
Yeah, so it was kind of like, oh, that's...
I just loved it.
That's but I did really like it. I was like, oh, this movie rocks. But I was like, just don't think too hard about it.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm totally comfortable, you know.
Uh-huh.
like I just explained. But yes, so they're at the court, and he still can't talk at this point, but he's able to write. And
he can talk, but they will not allow him to talk.
You're right. Thank you. Did we see the same movie?
I don't think so.
go ahead. It seemed like you were about to go, but
well, so the Zira and Cornelius are on trial for heresy,
mm-hmm.
and they're and at this point, Taylor has told them, "I have come from another planet. I'm not even from here. I don't even go to the school.
Yeah,
please understand me." And there was a scene we skipped where he's talking to Zira and Cornelius about this, and they're like, "How could you get here? What do you mean another planet? Like they're not even there yet."
Yeah.
What is another planet? And he's like, we flew here. And they're like, what is flying? That doesn't make sense. Yeah. And he makes a paper airplane and flies it across the room. And they're like, they've never seen anything.
Yeah, I love that. That's so cool.
Although I'm sure they have birds.
Well, yeah, but they've never seen man construct something that can fly.
Yeah.
Or ape construct something that can fly. And then Zaius comes in and he crumples it up and doesn't even attempt to fly it.
Yeah.
So good. Yeah. I love all that.
Yeah.
I also love how the movie just throughout, it just keeps foreshadowing like in an ironic way that he is on the planet.
Earth. Yeah, it does.
Because they're like, you came from another planet. They're like, there's no way you came from another planet. And he's like, yes, I came from another planet. And then at the end of the movie, you're like, he didn't come from another planet.
I like too that.
I love that.
Even like these arguments he has with Zira and Cornelius, it seems like he never fully convinces them either that he's from another planet, but they are much more open-minded. Let's try and figure this out together.
He's a crazy guy who's clearly really smart and stuff, but we can learn from him.
Somehow has the ability to speak. He's a mutant. They're calling him a mutant.
Yeah.
And Wolverine's not even in this movie.
Yeah. Well, he does have adamantium claws in this movie.
That's right. That's right. So then at the court, I forget what he does write down to be read, but...
I don't remember either.
He is kind of like chastising the court.
Yeah.
Of like, you basically are so stuck in your beliefs that you won't even consider another alternative to why I'm here.
Yeah.
Why I can speak.
Yeah.
Like you can't even get over the fact that I'm, I guess, an animal to you.
I love this movie.
Yeah.
I love this movie and I just can't wait to watch all of them.
Mm-hmm.
It's if any of them are, if even like three are even like, you know, 70% as good
as this
movie.
Well, the Tim Burton one, that's going to be a highlight.
I debated not putting that on because it's not like technically a part of the canon.
Yeah.
But, you know, we get to see that Abe Lincoln ape.
We haven't been able to talk about Mark Wahlberg in full detail. Come on.
That's true. That's kind of odd, actually.
We're not going to do it right now.
No, we're not. So then they see Landon, and his brain's cut out. Or, you know, he's got, what is that called?
Well, there wasn't a lobotomy, but they did remove part of his brain.
Yeah.
And
isn't
he's,
that a lobotomy?
A lobotomy, you stick an ice pick through someone's eye, and you sever something in their brain.
Oh.
But he, like, has had part of his brain removed. He's, like, a zombie now. So he can't prove that he was also a speaking human.
And again, I won't keep going to this, but the lobotomy thing is another example of why I just kind of personally think that in the real world, evolution, it's like maybe we're at the lobotomy phase, but we haven't figured out like what mental illness really is yet.
Hmm.
And then, you know, 50 years time, it's like, oh, there's actually this and this and this, which make a lot more sense. That's kind of where my brain is at. So then I wrote, why are you afraid, doctor?
I think that's what he asks him, right? Dr. Zaius?
Yeah.
Taylor asks him that. So then it's all over, you know? He's going to be dissected, game over. He's back in his cage, and then this kid comes to the place, and he's like, oh, he's being transferred to the zoo. He's not going to be experimented on anymore. He's going to be an exhibit.
Yeah.
And the guard's like, okay, let's go get him.
Uh-huh.
And then the kid cues Taylor to help him subdue the guard and bust him out. And they take Nova as well.
Okay.
And this is all that.
I'm reacting like I haven't seen it.
The kid's name is Lucius, or it's some other character. I can't remember. But it's Kira's Zira.
Yeah. Zira.
It's her nephew.
Yeah.
And I love him. I wish he was in the movie more because I like...
He's a cute little
from
kid.
From here on out, he, you know, he's just like, man, the establishment sucks. Anyone over 30 sucks.
Yeah.
I love it.
Which really hurts hearing
that. That did hurt hearing that.
Yeah.
But they...
We only have three more quarters of our life left.
Mm-hmm.
Because you and I are living to be 120.
Mm-hmm. So they are busted out by Cornelius and Zira, and they're going to go to the Forbidden Zone.
Yeah.
Where Cornelius has been on a research expedition, and they're going to continue his research.
Yeah. Why do they call it the Forbidden Zone?
Yeah.
No one knows.
They want to learn more about the Forbidden Zone.
Yeah.
And they've had enough of it.
Yeah.
They're going to find answers.
Yeah.
So
they get to the shore
as they're traveling. Yeah. Taylor asks him, why is this the Forbidden Zone? And yeah, that's when they're like, we don't know. We just know that we're not allowed here.
Uh-huh.
Did they say like humans came from here? Did they know that at least? Or
no, I don't think they know anything about it, except the scrolls told them not to come here.
The scrolls told them not to come. Okay.
So then they get to this beach where the cave is. And then as they get there, they're caught up. The bad guys catch up to them.
Mm-hmm.
And they're basically like, okay, we're going to go into the cave. And if I can prove it, then you'll let them go on lines of, like, you'll clear them of heresy.
Mm-hmm.
So they go into the cave with Dr. Zaius. And he does this whole thing about how, like, the holy scriptures say, like, beware the beast man. And
that's after the cave. Here Cornelius is going through what they've discovered in this cave, like the remains. And this is when he reveals they believe that they have found the missing link here.
Yeah.
And by this thing is, by this, these bones is a doll.
Yeah.
And
the doll makes sound.
Someone says, we've had dolls forever. Why is this one any different?
Uh-huh.
And it makes a noise. It says mama. And they're like, well, how would they know to make a doll speak?
Yeah.
These primitive beings.
Yeah.
And then, Dr. Zaius, I think what happens after that?
Well, it's just interesting again, because, you know, Dr. Zaius is immediately like, I reject all of this.
Mm-hmm.
But the actual stuff that he is given is not actually like 100% proof of the hypothesis. And so it's like, if you funded this stuff and weren't so scared of it, you could actually discover what it truly means. Because
mm-hmm.
maybe it's not what you think it is, or maybe it is, and you'll learn more. So it's just more like the movie, again, is just showing how much he is just absolutely refusing.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, we find out later in this sequence that he kind of knows about this stuff and knows about man.
Yeah.
And whatnot.
Yeah.
So
then get to the other part that you were saying.
So then he, Charlton, he does this thing where he's like, you know, he says something like, would you reject knowledge? Knowledge. There it is. And then, he takes him out, and he like, there's like a gunfight. They've ambushed the little nephew.
Yeah.
But then Charlton is able to
take Dr. Zaius hostage.
Yeah. And they call them off. And then that's when he quotes like the scripture, like, beware the beast man, and he'll come and he'll
ruin everything with his sin.
Yeah.
Let him go back into the shadows and retreat.
And so then they strike this deal where it's like, okay. He's like, you know what? The scientist, I'm not going to charge him with heresy. And you can go, just don't come back. Leave mm-hmm. us alone. And so what's interesting, and I wrote this down at first, is I was like, oh, so the scientists just like, it doesn't make sense that they would like not get charged with heresy. And I'm like, that just seems such a convenient like old movie trope where it's like, it's a happy ending kind of. And then lo and behold, once he leaves, the Dr. Zaius is like, yeah, you're getting tried for heresy.
Yeah,
absolutely.
I like that Taylor's like, why would you guys stay here? Why don't you guys just come?
Yeah.
And they say basically like,
they're too optimistic.
They are. Yeah. But they're also like, this is our culture. This is our home.
Yeah.
Even if it doesn't agree with them.
I mean, I don't know what their laws are for heresy, but it can't be good.
Well, they said that earlier, like it would be 2 years.
Oh, is that it?
Yeah.
Okay, that's not.
They also were threatened with a higher crime that would involve execution, but I don't think that involved heresy.
Oh, okay. Well, so that happens. And then Taylor says, I'd like to kiss you to Zaius. Like, kiss you goodbye.
Kira.
To Kira.
Dr. Zaius. She wants to Zira. He wants to kiss Dr. Zaius. Yeah, Kira's like, okay, but you're so ugly.
Yeah, that's kind of funny.
Yeah.
And then she, like, damn near blushes.
Mm. Yeah. I that's when I noted that. I think everyone looks so freaking good, by the way. And I know we've already talked about that, but man, what was the actor's name? I want to give her.
Oh, I can't remember, but yeah, she really like acts past the makeup.
She popped. Yeah, it was really in her eyes. She was so good. Kim Hunter. Yeah, she was the MVP for me.
Yeah.
But yeah, he gets on the horse with Nova and they ride off.
Yeah, and I think it's Cornelius says, why must knowledge stand still?
Yeah.
And that's like the, you know, the end of that story.
Yeah.
And then he's going off. And I just wonder what you're thinking as a viewer the first time you see this movie.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't know what happens at the end because...
It feels anticlimactic.
Yeah, it kind of feels like, okay, they resolved everything.
But also kind of feels like there was no big last action at the scene or...
But then as it continues to just like follow them, you're like, okay, something's coming. There's some revelation. And, you know, there's probably people that probably like figured it out, but you know, you're sitting there and then you have this incredible shot where you see the torch of the Statue of Liberty and it's all dilapidated. You can't tell what it is, and you see him getting closer, and then the camera pans around to the statue, the crown of it, and you still can't really tell what it is,
but it's somewhat unmistakable.
Yeah. And then it like zooms into him and he's just like, no!
Yeah, he gets off the horse.
No, no, no.
And he says it like, we killed ourselves.
Yeah.
We bombed ourselves.
And then he's like hitting the beach and the water's coming up. Nova has no idea. I think it's kind of a cool touch that there's another human who has no clue what this is.
Yeah.
And then you have the shot with the matte painting and all that, and it's the Statue of Liberty. Mm-hmm. So you know that the Planet of the Apes is in fact previously the Planet of the Humans.
Mm-hmm. And it ends.
And then it ends. And it actually has a feeling of like, it is a dour, dour ending. It really makes you feel bad, except for the fact that it's just so cool.
Yeah.
Like, it's just such a fun twist. But if it's not a fun twist, it doesn't feel good. You know what I mean?
I was trying to see. I saw something about the music that was unique.
Okay, you better hurry. You better hurry, girl. Yeah. What are you going to do? I do not want to edit any of this at the end.
Some of the discordant musical sounds were created by using stainless steel kitchen mixing bowls.
Ah.
That wasn't the only thing I saw, though. It sounded like there was something new that had never been done.
Yeah.
The way that the music was, but that's fine.
Okay. Sorry, folks. You cannot learn about that on this week. So, we did it. Mm-hmm. Next week, we're going to be covering Beneath the Planet of the Apes.
Beneath?
Beneath
the Planet interesting. Of the Apes. This is one where I will absolutely not be able to remember a single title.
Well, when we get through it, maybe you will.
Yeah, we'll see.
So in addition to that, I just want to implore you, my good friends, tomorrow night, boom, 6 o'clock doors. 7 o'clock show? No, 7 o'clock doors. 7 o'clock doors. March 23rd at the Eden Ballroom in Grants Pass. I am doing my 10-year anniversary Till Life Turns Over show. We're playing all the songs. I got a 6-piece band full of surprises. This thing is going to be the bee's knees. The show of the year, locally at least. You know what? Worldwide.
Mm-hmm.
And so please come to the show. If you're just thinking about it, if you're like, fear of missing out, I just don't want to commit to it. Commit, baby. This thing is going to rock your socks, and it's going to be so much fun. And it's going to be filmed, and it's going to be recorded. Don't you want to see yourself dancing to the music, having fun, immortalized forever on the silver screen in which we talk about every Friday? Yes, you do. So come to the show. It's going to rock. I mean, we're working on, like, we're going to have certain outfits that we're wearing.
What?
Very simple, but they're going to pop. There's going to be decorations. Very simple, but they're going to pop.
It's a birthday party for your album.
Yeah. And come and celebrate 10 years of my first album. And here's what's fun, folks. If you're like, you're still like, oh, I'm just on the fence. Here's what's fun. That music has, after 10 years, you know, your relationship to your art changes. And so I'm like, the songs, a lot of them I don't play anymore and whatnot, but revisiting them, we've reworked a lot of them and they're exciting again to me. And they're really fun to play in these new variations. So it's going to be fun. Come out to this show.
Also, I had talked about having an art gallery in May, and the date has been moved to May 24th, just so peeps know.
Yeah, that's going to rock. And is that a Friday?
I think it's a Saturday.
Okay, because I bet we're having a cool episode on that very day. And guess what, folks?
That's a Friday.
It's a Friday. I'm going to tell you what episode that is right now, even if it spoils something. Are you ready for that?
Hmm.
May 24th. No way. It's War for the Planet of the Apes. Which is one week before Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. So we will almost be caught up. So, folks,
eat a banana, okay?
Eat a banana and throw some poop at people. Bye-bye.